Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It's the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 27th day of July 2020. It's a Monday, another damn Monday. I'm Derek Hunter, I am your host, appropriately named and appropriately pantsed. Not really, I'm wearing shorts and a slipper, but hey, no, slippers, I guess. That'd be really weird if I was just wearing one. Starting a new trend. I'm the Michael Jackson of footwear without the molesting of children. Lots of things to get to today. There's a cheery thought to kick off the program. Lots of things to get to today. Lots of blood being spilled. The mutant riots are turning deadly. Again. I mean, we already had two people murdered in Chaz or Chop. I think it was Chaz when it finally dissolved. We've had people murdered all over the country while the protests and riots were going on. But now the body count is inching toward and into the crowd of mutants. Got quite a few examples of that today. Who could have predicted it? Aside from everybody. You watch, you sit around, you let people get absolutely riled up, these local Democrats. You let them get into a frenzy for 2 months. And you go, hey, wait a second, this is only getting worse. Yeah, because you let it get worse. And in many cases, these idiot mayors and city councils allow it, encourage it to get worse. They go out and they participate. They take a knee in front of, oh, if I take a knee in front of you, will you then stop rioting? Or will you know that I'm on your side so that maybe you won't come after me? And they don't give a shit. They don't care. You are in their way, and if you are not them, you are their enemy. It's that simple. And they're too damn stupid to understand, you know, how power works and how government works to recognize that they're getting what they want. They're actually getting what they want, these idiots. And we have some audio from the head of the police union in Minneapolis who made a hell of an impassioned plea to the state government to try and save the city. It'll probably fall on deaf ears. They'd have to care. They'd have to not be idiot leftists themselves to do something about this. Because right now, the Democratic, if you want anything from a Democrat, if your life is in danger and your life being in danger benefits them somehow electorally in November, you're out of luck. You know, good luck to you. Sorry about that. But this is the world in which we live. So we'll get to all of that and more. The killings, they're killing their own. They're killing Trump supporters. They're just killing. They don't care. If you think it's going to get any better before it gets any worse, you're crazy. Or if you think it couldn't get any worse, you're crazy and you're wrong. And if you don't own a gun already, you might want to consider buying one. In some states, depending on where you are, that can be a long-ish process, so you might want to get it started. But first, let's talk about Life Change Tea. That's right. All of these protesters are full of it. Probably won't help them. It would unstop them. But you normal people, we regular people, want to be more regular. You want to be cleaned out. That's where you go to getthetea.com. You order Life Change Tea. Pick your flavor. You'd use as directed. And you will become regular. But more importantly, you will become more energized. You go, what's going on? Why am I getting more energy? And it's because all of the caked-on filth in your digestive tract that's preventing you from absorbing all the nutrition from the food you consume is gone. It's wiped out. It's like a squeegee for your innards. And then you can digest more of the food or more of the nutrition from the food that you eat. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, ladies and gentlemen. The more pep in your step, the ability to make it through your day. I would not be able to make it through my day without that extra added energy, no matter how well I eat. And as a listener to this podcast, at checkout, you enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K. You get free fast shipping on top of it. Just go to getthetea.com. Promo code Derek at checkout. Don't forget to click apply. And boom, you win. We all win. Okay, let's talk about the violence from the left, because the media doesn't want to talk about it. It's not going to be a lot of coverage about this, because they can't frame it in any way that helps Democrats. But the Business Insider, I think this is. Colorado Black Lives Matter protester marching on highway shoots at car trying to pass. Hits fellow comrade. We're just going to start in random order here. Yeah, out in Colorado, they're marching on the freeway because they're idiots. Like I said, the right to peaceably assemble does not mean that you can be a complete jackass to other people. You don't get to infringe on the rights of others' people because you're exercising yours. No one told these kids this ever. A Black Lives Matter activist accidentally shot a fellow Marxist while firing at a Jeep that drove near the mob, which was marching on a Colorado highway. Aurora Police Department said the protester who was shot was taken to a local hospital. The Aurora PD tweeted, quote, "While the protesters were walking on I-225, a vehicle decided to drive through a crowd. A protester decided to fire off a weapon, striking at least one other protester. They were transported to the hospital in stable condition." Now, it's kind of funny. I find this amusing. Normally, under normal circumstances, I would not find this amusing, but this is what happens when you get a bunch of idiot leftists together and the police sit back and allow people to just go about their business and go about impressing other people, imposing their will on other people. Playing Red Rover on the freeway is never a good idea, because if somebody does get scared, which if anybody's ever seen the footage of Reginald Denny pulled out of his semi-truck in South Central Los Angeles at the corner of Florence and Normandy, you know there's very good reason to be afraid, even if you're in a vehicle and a group of lunatic leftists try to just at a minimum obstruct your progress. I'm surprised, frankly, more people aren't run over. And it's a testament to people's calmness in general, not the mutant protesters, because they beat on windows and jump on car hoods and everything. But the average person in a car doesn't want to hurt anybody. They should. If I were on a jury, I would vote to acquit every single one of them every single time. It wouldn't matter if I were Henry Fonda in that jury and I was the only one who said, this is not a murder. This is not vehicular homicide. This is not anything. This is justified fear. I'd be happy to do that. And I'd never be happy to have jury duty. But these people are growing more brazen as they're growing more desperate. And make no mistake, they are getting more and more desperate. Even the amount of riots that we've seen so far can only capture people's attention for so long. The American public loses interest. Without an escalation, there will be fizzle, because you can't maintain. That's the thing about burning rage. You can't find that sweet spot where you can just keep it right there all the time. It either blows up or blows out. They know this. And they're losing the focus. They're not getting as much attention. The attention that they're getting is becoming more and more negative, thanks to people out there on social media, the brave people with balls the size of some watermelons, like Andy Ngo and Julio Rojas, who are going out into these crowds and having people go out, because they'll get killed if they get recognized, especially Andy, and reporting back unfiltered what the media isn't seeing, what the media isn't showing, what the media is deliberately obscuring. And that is turning people against them. I don't know how fast, if it will be fast enough, but it is definitely turning people against them. So they need to up their game. Keep people engaged. They had the wall of moms, hoping that the moms would get bloodied. Then they had the wall of veterans. People saying they were veterans. I don't know. Maybe some of them were. Maybe some of them weren't. There was one guy out there claimed to be a veteran. He was in his dress blues. But he looked like, I don't know, he looked like somebody who was wearing his big brother's uniform. It didn't fit him. It didn't come close to fitting him. Of course, it's never checked. No reporter ever says, okay, which branch of the service were you in? Where are you? Blah, do you have any proof? It's all just this person's a veteran, and therefore they're part of the wall of veterans. And they're all saying, oh, I took an oath to defend this country against this kind of tyranny. If these people love this country half as much as they claim to love this country, they wouldn't be forming a link of humans facing the people protecting the federal building. They would form a wall of humans facing the mutant army trying to destroy it. That's my two cents. So I question their service, and I question their patriotism. Plus, I don't give a damn if someone served, if they then turn against this country. Remember how much deference our liberal friends have paid and are still paying General Michael Flynn? No one can say General Flynn did not serve this country, correct? Yet what do you hear about him out of the mouths of the morons at MSNBC, CNN, and all the newspapers? That he is a felon, he's a monster, he's a criminal, he lied to President, he needs to be in jail. Where is this vaunted deference that we are supposed to give those who serve? Of course, they don't mean it. The left despises the military. They only embrace it to the extent that it serves their purposes. And once it's done serving their purposes, they kick it to the curb again. This has been the way of the left since before the Vietnam War. They've never particularly liked this country. And one of the biggest impediments to them overtaking it by force is the military. So they don't bother to try. At least they're smart enough and have that kind of sense. But they hate the military. That they would wrap themselves, oh, we've got a group of veterans here. You can't come out. How dare you tear gas these sweet, sweet, nourishing veterans? Well, let's just assume they're all veterans. Being a veteran does not give you a get-out-of-responsibility-free card. It doesn't work that way. In fact, one might say that part of what they volunteered to fight for and defend is law and order, which necessarily means people have to follow the law, comply with the law, obey themselves. If you want to say I'm out here expressing my First Amendment right, absolutely. God bless you. We're right there with you. The problem is it's the right to peaceably assemble that you're not adhering to. When you're running human blocker for a bunch of brick-throwing mutants, might I suggest that you have become what you claimed to have fought this country to protect? Just saying. So out in Colorado, this idiot is running around with a gun and shoots at a car trying to get past. That's the sin, trying to get past a rolling roadblock of mutants. Then we go, well, let's see, where do we go? Let's go to Austin, Texas, because this one we have some audio for. There was a guy, and I put it past tense, there was a guy named Garrett Foster. Now, I'm sure Garrett Foster was loved by his friends and comrades in arms trying to destroy this country. His family may have even liked him. But Garrett Foster was an idiot. He decided, and I heard one woman say, they've been out here for 50 days. And his wife was apparently, I don't know, I haven't seen any proof of it, and I wouldn't believe these people, but I'll just report it anyway. His wife is apparently, according to one woman, a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. Not really sure why you're pushing your wife down the street if she's a quadriplegic in a wheelchair for 50 straight days, I would think that, I don't know, you might find something better to do. I'd hope you'd find something better to do. But apparently he didn't. Garrett Foster did not. The thing about Garrett Foster is he was shot and killed by somebody in a car. And depending on who you hear telling the story, and since there are conflicting reports and video evidence that I'll play for you, it's unlikely you'll hear on the national news the specifics of the death of Garrett Foster. I don't know how old he was. He looks kind of on the youngish side, maybe early 30s. Earlier in the night, before he was killed, he was interviewed by one of the many people running around with their cell phone cameras. He's wearing fatigues. He's wearing a face mask. That's fine. Wear a face mask. He also has what is described as an AK-47 hanging over him. Now, in Texas, you can open carry. No big deal. So he wasn't breaking any laws. But the thing is, if you're going to open carry, you've got to not be an idiot. Not by law, just by common sense. If you're carrying a gun around and you're inclined to wave it around like a magic wand and you're playing Harry Potter, you probably shouldn't. You don't have the proper discipline to be carrying a gun safely, and you're a danger to yourself and others. Well, listen to this interview. It's only 45 seconds long, of the late Garrett Foster talking to a reporter about why he's there and why he's carrying, I don't know if it's an AK-47 or an AR-15. You can't see the whole gun. It's a long rifle. That's all you need to know. Why he's carrying his gun.
Tell us a little bit about the gun again.
Oh, it's an AK-47.
Why'd you got it out tonight?
They don't let us march in the streets anymore, so got to practice some of our rights.
Cool, man. Do you feel like you'll need to use it?
Nah, I think if I use it against the cops, I'm dead. And I think all the people that hate us and, you know, want to say shit to us are too big of pussies to stop and actually do anything about it. So,
why'd you start carrying?
Well, our roommate got arrested and they stopped letting us march anywhere, so started carrying.
That's a hell of an epitaph there. We're not allowed to march in the street. They won't let us march in the street. Yeah, you can't obstruct traffic. They won't let you infringe on the rights of others. So he decided to carry a gun. But don't worry, he's not going to use it against police, because if he did, they'd kill him. But those pussies driving past, they might yell something at it. But they're too big a pussies to do anything about it. Famous last words. They weren't quite his last words. He lived for about another hour. And then, while they were marching in the street, explicitly against the law, explicitly against orders, somebody started honking and wanted to get through this conga line of idiots. A whole bunch of people rushed the car, began beating on it. You can find the video online. And then you're going to hear it. You're going to hear the marching. I'm going to play it. It's about 45 seconds long. They're marching down the street and they're chanting whatever the hell it is these mutants chant. And then you hear the honk of a horn. And then the person with the camera turns around and everybody goes running towards his car. How dare somebody honk it? Don't you know that I'm exercising my right to march and blah, blah, blah? And right there up front was Garrett Foster with his rifle. Then you're going to hear five pops fired off at short, close range, because Garrett Foster was almost literally right outside the door. People start to scream. For some reason, Garrett Foster only fired off five shots, and then maybe his rifle jammed. Maybe he said, what am I doing? What have I become? I don't know. He's unavailable for comment. The next three pops you hear are from the person at whom Garrett Foster was shooting, who he missed at close range with a rifle, allegedly. Those three shots fired back at protester Black Lives Matter activist Garrett Foster killed him. Now, the story from the left is that Garrett Foster was just minding his own business and pushing his quadriplegic wife down the road in her wheelchair when somebody pulled up and shot him. That is not the case at all. You can kind of get a sense of that here. But again, they're two different shots. You can tell by the sounds that they make. And the second burst of shots won the day. Here is, and it sounds gross to say, but it is what it is. Here is Garrett Foster being shot and killed after trying to shoot somebody in a car for daring to drive past a parade of mutants trying to obstruct them. Yes, the screaming and crying continued, as you'd imagine it would. It's a sad situation that didn't have to be. Some simple de-escalation, I don't know, 30 days ago, would have headed this off at the pass. But to this day, there still hasn't been an elected Democrat, a national Democrat, condemn this. I don't know if any elected local Democrats have condemned this anywhere, but this is who they are. So this guy is dead now. Because of it. Blood firmly on their hands. Not at the hands of police, the way that the protesters seem to desperately want it, but at the hands of somebody who they tried to kill. You heard the shots there. The rifle shots first, then what sounded like a pistol, a handgun, going back at them. The handgun won. Speaking of winning, yes, the convention has been canceled because of coronavirus, but that doesn't mean you still can't win. The Trump campaign has a special offer just for you. President Trump really wants to give you a signed 2020 Make America Great Again hat. He wants to make sure that the lucky winner is one of his top supporters. Be sure to enter soon because this is an opportunity you do not want to miss. This offer is only going to a select group of supporters, and you are one of them. All you have to do, it's simple to enter, is text the word Derek, D-E-R-E-K, to 88022 today for your chance to win a signed 2020 Make America Great Again hat and own a piece of history. Again, that's D-E-R-E-K to 88022 to enter to win this contest and join President Trump in the fight to keep America great for 4 more years. And Lord knows we need that. This was paid for by Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated. Now we go out to, this is in Kentucky. Again, with only Republicans condemning this, Democrats will continue to escalate it. They see this as an advantage, which is really disgusting. This is from ABC News. The headline, three members of armed militia injured in shooting at Breonna Taylor protest. Now, you think this is sort of vague. What's going on? Which one is it? And then the subheadline, a militia member apparently accidentally discharged their weapon. Oopsie. There was a group of black protesters. They have a fun little nickname for themselves because, well, they do. It's called the Not Fucking Around Coalition. So there you go. They're not fucking around, except for apparently when it comes to firearms safety. ABC backed, since ABC won't say what they're called. Three members of an armed militia were shot in an apparent accident at a protest calling for justice for Breonna Taylor in Louisville on Saturday afternoon. The three people, all members of the NFAC, they don't say the Not Fucking Around Coalition, suffered non-life-threatening injuries, according to Louisville Metro Police Department. The shooter was also a member of the militia. The group's founder, John Grandmaster J. Johnson, told ABC News that members of the militia were inspecting firearms prior to the demonstration when a woman's weapon accidentally discharged. Johnson referred to the woman as a trainee. It accidentally discharged three times? It accidentally discharged three times. Quote, to quote John Grandmaster J. Johnson, quote, today, shortly before 1, or no, this is the police chief, never mind. Today, shortly before 1 p.m., three people were struck by gunfire as a result of a discharge of someone's gun who was participating in the NFAC demonstration at Baxter Park. Louisville Division of Firearms arrived a short time later and transported all three victims to the University Hospital. Did somebody call the police after the... Why would they call the police? They're protesting against the existence of the police. They say it's a tragic thing, and Louisville police are releasing surveillance footage of the shooting that showed dozens of members of the NFAC milling around the park prior to the march when the gun accidentally discharged and a few people dropped to the ground injured. Now, there's a lot of pictures of the marchers. Some are exhibiting trigger discipline. Others doesn't look to be all that much. But again, that people weren't killed is only by sheer happenstance, by luck, and only luck here. These morons going out there, I love how they demand justice for this and they demand justice for that. They're demanding justice for George Floyd. Well, the George Floyd, the justice is happening. It is. Sometimes justice is charges not being filed. They don't want justice. They want results. They want a specific outcome. They don't give a damn about justice. They want blood. And so even in the case of George Floyd, where the officers are awaiting trial and they're likely going to spend the rest of their lives in prison, that's not enough. We're out here marching for justice for George Floyd. Well, you're getting justice. Well, no, we haven't gotten complete. No, you want an outcome. See, an outcome, a guaranteed outcome, a demanded outcome is not justice. It's not anywhere close to justice, actually. It's very Soviet. It is, we demand this outcome, now go make it happen kind of way. But this is who the left is. This is what the left does. This is all they care about. They want blood. They want power. Now imagine the blood they're demanding and the blood they're getting while they're out of power. Imagine the blood they'll demand and get if they were in power. Kind of scary. Along the lines of these mutant protesters, this is kind of telling. Major League Baseball's back. I did not watch Major League Baseball this weekend because they're in league with Black Lives Matter. I also couldn't care less, so it's not like it's a big sacrifice for me. But there was one person on the San Francisco Giants who refused to participate in the self-flagellation and the taking of a knee before the game to protest to show that Black Lives Matter. The leaders for Black Lives Matter were unavailable for comment as they were holed up at the bank still counting money. So the pitcher's name for the San Francisco Giants is Sam Coonrod, I believe, C-O-O-N-R-O-D. He is now being condemned by the left. He said, you know, I only bend my knee for the Lord, and that's it. That's not good enough. NBC Sports has a piece entitled, Giant Sam Coonrod had every right to stand, but his reason fell short. Sam Coonrod stepped into the sidelines of America on Thursday night when he alone stood before an intended unified peaceful protest. Now, don't you love that? Unified peaceful. What if you're in a disagreement with the agenda of the peace, quote unquote, peaceful protesters? Are you just supposed to do it to be for the sake of unity? That's kind of anti-American to me. A light followed him around Friday and might stay with him for a while. All the giant pitcher did was exercise the right that all Americans have, at least theoretically, freedom of choice. The right for which millions of Americans fought, with many dying. For that reason, Coonrod's decision to stand rather than join his kneeling manager and teammates during a pregame moment of unity at Dodger Stadium should be above criticism. He did nothing wrong. He said plenty wrong, though, offering an explanation that slid off his tongue and went dribbling down his chest like a liquid contradiction. Quote, "I'm a Christian," he said. When did real Christianity opt out of humanity? Give a pass to injustice and inequality. Decide that it's disrespectful to offer support, if not shelter, to those in need. Does Coonrod not realize that pastors of all faiths are joining crowds around the world fighting for these very ideas? Like so many others swimming against the tide of progress, Coonrod pointed to the Black Lives Matter Network, saying he, quote, "just can't get on board," end quote, with some of its beliefs. Nothing wrong with that. Again, having a choice is among the purposes of freedom. But if Coonrod had taken the moment to inform himself, he would see motives behind the movement need to be affiliated with Black Lives Matter, but rather he would see motives behind this movement need not be affiliated with Black Lives Matter, but rather than bring greater awareness to the racial injustices that it focuses. This is such a load of... He's free to do what he wants, but he did it wrong. He shouldn't have done it. He should have capitulated. He should have bent the knee. How about you go to hell? Who wrote this? A guy named Monty Poole. Monty Poole, with an E at the end of both words. Ian Williams, NBC Sports Bay Area analyst and former 49ers defensive lineman, responded to Coonrod's reasoning by calling it BS. Quote, "Let me make this clear. You don't have to be on board with Black Lives Matter, but I do need you to be on board with equality for all and ending racism. It's simple. If you don't want those two simple things, you know what you are." Don't you love that? Take the knee or be demonized. You're free to do that, but you're a monster if you don't. And we'll spend all of our time denouncing you. They don't want racial equality. They want racial superiority. And to hell with Major League Baseball. And to hell with all of these sports writers. See, this is the way it ends. See, one need not be a card-carrying member of Black Lives Matter to decry the obvious wrongness of America's ways. It's just obvious. Fucking leave, okay? There is no wall built on the border of this country to keep your ass in here. That some perceive the desire for equality as political statement says a lot about them. There are no calls for equality. There are calls of superiority. It's only political because some continue to place politics over the concept of humanity. Again, this is an NBC News or NBC Sports story that is not labeled as opinion. It's only political because certain elements of government perceive protesters, not all of whom are faithful to every element of Black Lives Matter, as terrorists who must be silenced, if not crushed. Where does this guy live? See, what Coonrod did not say, but surely crept into the minds of listeners and readers, is that he believes the various evolutions of America's two greatest sins, the other being stealing land from the natives, are acceptable. Oh, see, suddenly it's that he's a racist. He's free to do what he wants. Nobody would ever want to impose on him, but he's a racist. The stealing of lands from natives. Much of it was purchased, and you should have been tougher. That's all I have to say. That equality is something for others to deal with. That Christianity has somehow disqualified him from the cause. There are only two rational explanations for what Coonrod said. One, he didn't hear himself speak. Or two, he heard every word he said and knows he did not say what he really meant. He's not really a Christian. He's not really... Look, if you're just going to bow your knee to God is all, well, what the hell? What kind of a monster are you? How about this, Monty Poole? How about you're an idiot? How about you don't understand the history of this country and having been briefed by someone who read a synopsis of the 1619 Project does not make you a history professor, okay? It doesn't even make you smarter. In fact, it makes you dumber. Bend your knee to communists, and you are capitulating to communists. If everybody at Charlottesville, was a white supremacist because some white supremacist showed up, then everybody who marches with Black Lives Matter or takes a knee in the name of Black Lives Matter is a black supremacist, is a racist just as much as those white supremacists in Charlottesville were. This isn't a game. This isn't, a whataboutism. This is the standard you guys set. So live by it. If you don't like that he doesn't want to kneel, just come out and say, I don't like that you don't want to kneel. I don't like that you don't want to bow down and beg forgiveness for the color of your skin and admit your sins based on the color of your skin to this crowd of mutants. I don't know who this pitcher is, Sam Coonrod. Never heard of him. I don't watch baseball enough. I barely know the players on the team in the city I live. I barely know the players on the team in the city I grew up in, where I actually did like baseball when I was a kid. I don't think I could name you one. Maybe Cabrera, is he still a Tiger? As far as the Orioles, I don't know. Davis, because he sucked so bad. He barely hit 200 or didn't hit 200 or whatever. That's it. So I don't know who Sam Coonrod is, but I guarantee you that Monty Poole doesn't know who Sam Coonrod is. Yet here he is saying he's either an idiot or a racist, and he's probably both. Because he wouldn't bend the knee to Black Lives Matter. And I have no idea if this, little bow and moment of silence or whatever the hell they're saying, this capitulation, is going to continue throughout the whole season, or if it was just a opening day sort of thing. But I do know that they've stenciled BLM on the backs of pitchers' mounds. That's a full-throated embrace of the Black Lives Matter movement. And because of that, I want nothing to do with the league. I don't care. I wish that they get shut down. I hope things go horribly wrong for them and they get shut down, because I don't like people who don't like this country. I'm old-fashioned that way. You can call it zealotry or patriotism or whatever you want to label. You can call me an evil monster. I'd have to care what you thought, lefty, for it to matter to me. But I don't. And that's the important thing to remember here. Stand up for yourselves. Yes, you're going to be attacked. You're going to be attacked in a very hypocritical way by people who swear up and down that they are not attacking you for what you did and what you say and what you think and what you feel. But that's exactly what they're doing. They will browbeat you if they are not stood up to. Thank God for Sam Coonrod. I hope there are more people like him across the league who continue to say, absolutely not, I'm not interested in this. I'm just not interested. That should be more than enough. But we all know that's never, ever enough. And it never will be, as Eric Erickson's book a couple of years ago was entitled, You Will Be Made to Care. You will be browbeaten into submission. You don't get a say. Free will is for suckers. You can have all the free will you want as long as you agree with the leftist mob. You can do whatever you want as long as it is in the approved by the leftist mob. They're not in power. Imagine what they'll do with power. Then you think, well, this isn't who the Democrats are. This is exactly who the Democrats are. The Democratic Party's agenda for 2020 was put together by AOC and Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden ceded that to them. Now, you would think that if you're the candidate, you would have to have certain things in your agenda that you support. But it doesn't seem as though Joe Biden actually supports anything except Joe Biden being president of the United States. That seems to be the rationale for his whole campaign. Vote for me, it's my turn. Vote for me, I want it. Vote for me, I deserve it. Vote for me, I was vice president for 8 years. It's it's my turn. I'm next in line. Don't take cuts. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders, again, they got the Green New Deal in there. They got pretty much everything that Bernie and AOC and the radical left wanted. And Bernie put out a video over the weekend where he went through his agenda. He's not running for anything. He's just essentially the policy director for the Joe Biden campaign. Listen to what he says. See if you recognize this America. See if these are your priorities. Because if they're not, and I suspect they're not, I suspect they are the antithesis of your priorities. They are the 180-degree opposite of your priorities. If they're not, keep that in mind and think of what you can do to make sure that these people do not get anywhere near the levers of power after the election, because they're telegraphing every punch. You know, I say this, when people tell you who they are, believe them, especially when it's crazy, because then that means they're really, really freaking crazy. Here's Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden's agenda.
We must elect progressive candidates at the local, state, and federal level. But we also have to continue to fight for our progressive agenda. The federal government should be guaranteeing decent paying jobs for all Americans as we rebuild our crumbling physical and human infrastructure. We must guarantee health care to all people as a human right. We must make public colleges and universities tuition free and cancel all student debt. And we can create millions of good paying jobs as we lead the world in transforming our energy system away from fossil fuel to energy efficiency and sustainable energy. We're going to continue to fight for real criminal justice reform to end a broken and racist system, and for real immigration reform, which guarantees a right to citizenship to all of the undocumented people in this country. And we surely know that women today are under severe attacks as they try to control their own bodies from people who think the government should make decisions for women rather than women themselves. A lot of work that's out there that has to be done. But in this unprecedented moment, understand that because of your efforts, because of grassroots activism, we are winning in struggle after struggle. And I think the future belongs with us, not with the greed and corruption of the establishment.
Does that sound like the America you know? Women are oppressed. Oh, everything's falling apart. Everybody's dying. And oh, my God, we need to do this, that, and the other thing. Is that the America you want? Someone like that in charge? And that doesn't matter if it's physically him. It's his ideas that are the problem. Bernie Sanders will die one day. Who knows when? But his ideals live on. Everybody you see in the street is down with the Bernie cause. I'd bet that the vast majority of them are Bernie bros. If you remember the Project Veritas video, where they're like, Bernie doesn't get this, we go to the streets. What do you think is happening? Where do you think these people are coming from? Do you think they're just otherwise sitting at home, minding their own business, happily going about their lives, but then they saw the George Floyd tape and said, that's it, I must go to the streets? No, there was always this raging undercurrent of mutant anger sitting there waiting to be exploited. Bernie was their guy. Bernie is always their guy. Bernie is still their god. That Bernie Sanders hasn't come out and explicitly condemned these riots, these deaths, these attacks tells you something about Bernie and these people, doesn't it? This is who they are. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. This is who Joe Biden has put in charge of his policies. This is who Joe Biden will likely, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Bernie Sanders join a Biden administration. You're sitting there and you think, well, that's crazy. First of all, it's not crazy to think that somebody would resign the Senate to become a secret cabinet secretary. It happens all the time. And you sit there and you go, why would anybody resign a job that they have secure to work for somebody else? They don't really work for anybody, and they're going to go take a job with somebody else. They can make massive changes on their own. The bureaucracy that each department oversees has so many regulations. It's stretched to the moon and back if you printed them out. So many regulations that are at the discretion, thanks to lazy lawmakers writing laws that say, in a manner that shall be determined by the secretary, rather than explicitly laying out how something is to be done, that a cabinet secretary can make significant changes to your life. They can do everything short of arrest you. They can make things illegal. They can impose fines. They can raise fees. They can outlaw and ban certain things. Remember, the Obama administration passed all sorts of regulations. They governed by regulations. DACA was a presidential decree. Who sits in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue matters, and who that person appoints to head up the various departments matters desperately. Someone like Bernie Sanders, if it's not Bernie Sanders, it'll be Elizabeth Warren. If it's not Elizabeth Warren, it'll be Kamala Harris. It will be Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Everything you can possibly imagine that's horrible can happen. And you sit there, and some people, and I've heard people say this, and I've heard sort of squishy Republicans try and justify, they don't like Trump, and look, Biden isn't going to be that bad. He'll stand up to these people if he's president. Do you really think he'll stand up to these people? These people have demonstrated a willingness to go after their own, to go after anybody not deemed sufficiently woke. AOC is raising a ton of money for her reelection campaign and not giving any to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. She doesn't agree with some of their endorsements because some of their endorsements aren't Nazis. So she's withholding her money. If she's willing to stand up to them, remember all the attacks she levied on Nancy Pelosi. It used to be you didn't get much further left than Nancy Pelosi. She represents San Francisco, for God's sakes. But she wasn't woke enough. She wasn't sufficiently progressive enough for AOC. So she's gone against her. If they're willing to go after that, what's the difference in going after the president of the United States? Joe Biden won't have anything to stand up to. What will he do? What can he do? It'll be better for him, worse for the country, but better for him to capitulate on a lot of these things. You can't promise tuition-free college for everybody and forgiveness of all student loans and, you know, free affordable housing, whatever, free housing. You can't promise that and go back on it. If Democrats take over everything this fall, God forbid, the filibuster will be gotten rid of. That is a foregone conclusion. Democrats have telegraphed their punch. If they get 50 votes plus the vice president tiebreaker vote, Democrats will hang together come hell or high water. They've always done it. It's really only Republicans who sort of cave and capitulate and worry about, we need to work across the aisle. Democrats never cross the aisle. Occasionally, when he's up for re-election, Joe Manchin might throw a vote here or there, but that's it. It's usually on issues that aren't going anywhere, that aren't going to become law, so it's safe for him to ultimately vote for it because he knows that the House is going to stop it or change it dramatically. So it's not really voting for it, and he inoculates himself against a challenge from the left. In West Virginia, it's kind of a tough road to hoe, challenge from the left, but still, do you think that the rest of the Democrats are going to sit back and go, well, Joe, we've got to do this sensible thing. Look, people don't want socialized medicine. How about we just help the, you know, couple of million people who are chronically uninsured rather than uprooting the entire system? Why don't we address the real problem? Well, they wouldn't do that. How do I know they won't do that? Because they had a chance to do that with Obamacare, and they chose to uproot the whole system. Now, in that case, they didn't pull the whole thing out. They just upended 5 million people who'd already had health insurance that were quite happy with it. They also caused tens of millions more Americans to have to pay more for their health insurance than they otherwise were before, and getting less, and now they're getting things that they didn't want, but they're paying for them anyway, like artificial insemination. I guarantee you most people don't want artificial insemination, but thanks to the federal government, it has to be included. That costs money. That causes premiums to go up. None of this was by accident. There were lobbyists for it, and there was the long-term plan, the long con that Democrats always play. Republicans are always, you know, playing the short con. Yeah, we tried. What are you going to do? Moving on. That's what it is. We try to do this. Moving on. Democrats go, we're going for the house. We're not going for the watch. We're not going for the contents of the wallet. We're going for the contents of the checking account, the savings account, the IRA, the 401k, and the safe deposit box, plus the title to the home. That's what we're going for. And it's going to take a long time to get there, but we'll take it a little piece at a time. So they set about the destruction of the private health insurance industry. And now, a few years later, they're going, oh, my God. We need Medicare for all because the health insurance industry is a disaster. Well, you designed it. Maybe find a mirror. But no, they know what they're doing. Republicans don't. Republicans never do. And if you think Joe Biden isn't down with this, if you think Joe Biden isn't cool with this, if you think Joe Biden wouldn't sign anything these people put in front of him, you're crazy, man. You're crazy. These people are agenda uber allus committed leftists who want to fundamentally transform the United States of America. They say it every chance they get. They say it in plain English. They say it in coded language. They say it in their fundraising emails. They say it every time they open their damn mouths. All you've got to do is listen. They're doing it. Right now, God, look across the country at what's going on in Seattle, in Portland, in Denver, in Chicago, in New York, in Washington, D.C., in the streets. They are demanding the fundamental transformation of this country. They are demanding a socialist agenda, and they are breaking the law and hurting people in the process. I saw on Twitter a really sad sign in the window of a business. It was out in Seattle, I think. No, it was in Portland. And this is pathetic that people have come to this. But you have to go to this because the police are nowhere to be found. They are being handcuffed by their leadership, by their political leadership. A business, a restaurant, bar in Portland has this sign in their window. It's up on my Twitter page. Quote, "This is a family-owned restaurant. We've already been struggling to live. Please don't hurt us." Do you think that's going to stop any raging mob of leftist mutants? They don't give a damn. They want you to hurt. They want you destroyed. You employ people. They need more people unemployed. They need more people desperate to survive. And they need a candidate like Joe Biden, who's willing to promise them anything and everything to keep them alive. We will take care of you, is the message. Police cannot take care of you. The police will not take care of you. Left off of that is the police have been ordered to not take care of you. They will be fired if they come in and enforce the law. That brings us to Minneapolis, where this latest round of mutant protests started. The head of the police union up there is a guy named Rich Walker. He's also a Minneapolis police officer. He went before the state Senate to testify, to beg them to step in and help the city of Minneapolis before the leftists destroy it. Now, I'm going to play you this clip. It's a little montage put together by the Media Research Center of Mr. Walker's testimony. Just so you know, he's a black man. And he is dealing with all the abuse, the overwork, the neglect that the leftist mutant mob and the politicians are throwing at all police officers. And one thing you'll notice is that while he makes a distinction between the rioters and the politicians, he makes sure also that it's a distinction without a difference, because there really is no difference between all of these people. They all want the same thing. These politicians are content to watch and preside over the destruction of their cities, of their hometowns, because they think it helps them politically. Officer Walker disagrees. Here's his testimony.
It stings a little different when you watch your neighborhood that you grew up in destroyed. To answer your question, Mr. Chairman, I believe we have the tools, if they're utilized, if we're authorized to be used to circumvent and stop what happened. I believe the real question, sir, is were we allowed to do it, and were our leaders allowing us to do our job? And I'm here to tell the truth and the whole truth. And the truth is, the leaders of Minneapolis failed Minneapolis. Sir, the crimes that are happening against officers are they're very easily to speak about because we're also seeing them on the news. We have had close to 20 homicides in the city of Minneapolis since Memorial Day. We've had upwards of 140 people shot in our city since Memorial Day, including a murder that just happened yesterday. We're averaging 2 to 3 shootings a day, and that message is not out there. That message is the crime is rampant in Minneapolis right now. It is lawlessness over there, and the criminals are emboldened right now to do whatever they want to do. Open-air drug sailing, gun violence, clearly, robberies, assaults. It's almost every 20 minutes. I can tell you from my experience, I was out there the first day, Wednesday, from 4 p.m. until 3 in the morning. I was hit with glass bottles, rocks. We believe shots were fired outside the precinct, Molotov cocktails. They even skinned 2 pig faces and threw those at us, gallons of milk, anything that they can use with their 2 hands to throw at us was thrown at us. Bottles with cement in them, you name it, homemade projectiles to launch, dangerous bottles with rocks and nails at us. Almost anything that you could hit us with, they did. Our morale has never been lower. I think it speaks volumes for the cops who still come to this city every day and still put it all on the line every day, because let's be honest, we signed up for this job and we know that death could result in what we do. We know that. But when you have the people, the very people that you are giving your life for to protect, turn on you and make you feel like you're on your own, it wasn't enough to just get disciplined. You know, it wasn't enough to possibly get suspended or fired. We are put in a position right now where every Minneapolis cop feels that they're the next incident. They're scared to death to answer calls in case something turns violent because they're actively trying to send us to prison. Cops are scared of dying and they're scared of going to prison. And it's never been worse. It's never been worse. And to this day, you still hear them saying they want to defund us and dismantle our police department. We're going to lose. It depends on who you ask, but the truth is sitting in front of you right now. We're going to lose a quarter of our department. About 200 cops we're going to lose because of this. It's devastating. And I think we need help from each and every one of you senators at this Capitol to fight for us, because our city leaders are not. Our council is not. The hatred they have towards our department has never been more evident. You see it on the news every night. 20 people killed, 100-something shootings, and they still want to dismantle the police department. We've lost the precinct. We're about to lose a quarter of our cops. And they wonder why why we're quitting. And they wonder why we are burned out. It's our leaders. We need you guys. Otherwise, this will be in a city near you. This will be the department that you guys represent, the city that you represent. Right now, it's in Minneapolis, but it's spreading. And something needs to be done, and we need every one of you guys to help us.
You know, that stands on its own. It's an incredibly powerful statement from the head of the police union up in Minneapolis to lawmakers. Hopefully, the lawmakers will listen and respond. You won't see that on your nightly newscasts. It's too long to really be shown on even Fox News, but I thought it was worth showing you now because, or worth playing for you now because it's real. And it's only going to get more real if this is allowed to continue. And Democrats have a vested interest in allowing it to continue. It's kind of funny. They don't care what happens to you, your house, your family, your business, your employer, whatever. But someone like the mayor of Oakland, who is a big, big time leftist, she's just a complete idiot. She's the one who warned illegal aliens in her town that ICE was coming. Remember that? She's what is her name? Libby Schaaf. She's all in favor of, you know, Black Lives Matter protests and the riots and everything. And then suddenly, right before the vote to defund police, the mutant mob showed up at her house. And they vandalized her house. They spray painted all over her house. They launched fireworks. They treated her house the way that they're treating the Portland federal courthouse. She came out and said, this is unacceptable. And she referred to them as terrorists. Of course, in her squishy ass statement, she did so while talking about, how she supports the protesters and blah, 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 and everything else that you can possibly imagine to kiss ass. But still, in a statement, she said, an attack on a home of a publicly elected official does not advance democracy, according to her spokesman. This attack, designed to intimidate the mayor and strike fear into her family, will not stop her from advocating for the policies she believes are in the best long-term interest of her beloved hometown. She takes a punch. She gets mugged. She gets beaten. Her house, she doesn't really get any of those things, but her house gets vandalized, and it's a nice house, and it's not going to be cheap to clean off all the crap that they did and clean up all the crap that they did, and she's still sucking up to these people. She's still sucking up to these people. Can't rationalize with them. But you can rationalize this. The Trump campaign has a special offer just for you. President Trump really wants to give you a signed 2020 Make America Great Again hat. He wants to make sure the lucky winner is one of his top supporters like you, so be sure to enter soon because this is an opportunity you don't want to miss. This offer is only going to a select group of supporters, and you are one of them. It's great. All you have to do is text my name, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, to 88022 today for your chance to win a signed 2020 Make America Great Again hat and own a piece of history. Again, that's D-E-R-E-K to 88022 to enter to win this contest and join President Trump in the fight to keep America great for 4 more years. Yes, please. This is paid for by Donald J. Trump for President Incorporated. Lastly today, I don't know when he's actually going into the ground, but over the weekend they held 3 memorial services for John Lewis, at least 3, maybe 4. They carted his body in a horse-drawn carriage across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. I'm sorry, but because the guy did something, you know, noble when he was younger, doesn't mean he wasn't a horrible politician. His district is a depressed area. He's failed in leadership, in that respect. He is, he said really vile things against the Tea Party, accusing them of racism, accusing them of spitting on him and calling him the N-word. Andrew Breitbart offered a $10,000 reward for proof of that happening, since every step that he took from the offices to the house was caught on film, and that money remains unclaimed to this day. He was a liar. He was a partisan hack. I don't care if he was a nice person in private. I didn't know him as a nice person in private. I knew him as a lawmaker. But I don't care if people want to mourn for John Lewis. I'm sorry for his family. But that he gets, it's either five or six memorial services, because he's all over, his body has been trekked all over the place, across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. It's coming to Washington, D.C. to lie in state so that people can go there and get coronavirus. And then it'll go to Georgia, where he represented, and it'll go there. And then finally, they'll put him in the ground. I point this out not to attack John Lewis, per se, but to point out and ask a question. How many Americans in the last 6 months were not allowed to visit a dying loved one in a hospital? We're not allowed to even pick up the body of a loved one who passed away. And certainly we're not allowed to have a memorial service for a loved one who died. And yet John Lewis gets five or six of them, at least. John Lewis is getting more memorial services than entire states allowed their population in the last 6 months. There's a lot of words for that. The one that comes to mind to me the most is bullshit. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening, telling a friend, and all that good stuff. The website, patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. Thanks for all the positive feedback about the obscenity-laced show. This one could have easily been obscenity-laced as well, but that'll just have to wait until Saturday. Have a great Monday. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'm here to tell the truth and the whole truth. And the truth is, the leaders of Minneapolis failed Minneapolis.